Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And so, Father, this morning we thank you that you want to speak to us, Lord. We thank you for the simplicity of your word. We thank you that there's power in the word. And this morning we pray that all of us would humble themselves and that we'll be in a place to receive from you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Right, if you've got your Bible, I want you to go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 1. Matthew, chapter 13, verse 1. Matthew 13, verse 1. We're continuing this morning talking about captured by the word. This is part 7, captured by the word. And this morning, we're going to go deep into the whole issue of getting into the word and the word getting into us. Are we all ready to go into the word? Matthew 13, verse 1. The parable of the sower. Yeah, the parable of the sower. In that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great crowds were gathered to him, so that he went into a boat and sat. And all the crowd stood on the shore, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow." You know, you'd imagine people like, "Hey, Pastor, I've heard that parable being taught so many times." You know, I remember this. I mean, it's one of those that you've been taught so many times. "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and he sowed seed, Some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they sprang up immediately because they had no deepness of earth." Verse 6. "And the sun rising, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And some fell on the good ground and yielded fruit. Indeed, one 100-fold, and one 60, and one 30. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Question, are you a 30-folder? Are you a 100-folder? Are you a 60-folder this morning? Or there is nothing? Now, one would think that when two people are found in the same situation, in the exactly same conditions, these people will end up the same in life. You would think that when people are growing in the same conditions, they'll end up the same in life. But I've realized that there's nothing that is far from reality as that. I have observed something strange under the earth. And you can have two children growing up in the same family, eating the same food, being taught the same values, but one ends up in a prison, but another ends up operating people in a theater somewhere as a surgeon. That's a bit strange. What happened here? These children have been exposed to the same values. These children have been taught the same things, but somehow they ended up differently in life. The question is this: why is this the case? Why is it that we can sit under the same anointing, under the same teaching, and yet some people seem to be going backwards, whilst others are going full steam ahead? The same word, even right now, the same word we're hearing, but the outcome of this word will be different. In some, this word will not yield anything. In some, this word will yield 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now, put this down. When it comes to walking with God, it is not a matter of how many years you've been in the Lord, but rather how much of God has been in the years. When it comes to walking with God, it is not a matter of how many years you've been in the Lord, but rather how much of God has been in the years. You might have been a Christian for 10 years, but in reality, you would have experienced God for 2 years in total. You've been in the Lord for 10 years, but your experience with God might be just for 2 years. And the opposite could be true. Somebody might have been in the Lord for 2 years, and yet their experience with God could even cover 10 years. Because this person is sold out for God. This person devours the word. This person is hungry for the word. This person says, if it's a matter of praying, I will pray. I'm not going to hold back. But you would find some individuals who have become professional in their walk with God, that the issues of God are secondary matters. They are matters that can only be dealt with when there is time left. In other words, we give God our leftovers. Our time with God is the last thing that we do after we have given our best to our bosses. After we've given our best to everything else. And then just before midnight, we give God 2 minutes of our time. That is why I'm saying you could have been in the Lord for 20 years, but because you've only been spending 2 minutes with God every day, your time with God might just be 2 years. Now you need to realize that even in the church, there are people you would expect to live a life in a certain way, with a level of maturity where you'd expect them to be contributing at a deeper level because they've been in the Lord for longer. But lo and behold, because there is a lack of maturity or there's a lack of God in their years, they haven't taken up the things of God as the business of their father. You see, when you grow in the Lord, you take personally the issues of God. You start saying, I cannot allow that to happen because this is my father's business. The Lord Jesus was asked by his parents after he was left in Jerusalem, discussing with the teachers. And he said, don't you know that I'm about to do my father's business? I'm about my father's business. I want you to realize this morning that what we do tells us so much about our maturity in the Lord. Now, the answer to that question as to why is it that some people seem to be moving forward at a faster pace whilst others are at a standstill, if not backsliding. You know, you can still be a child of God, but you backslide in your prayer life. You backslide in your giving. You backslide in the fruit of the Spirit. The question is that, are you liking the person you are becoming? The more you are in the Lord, or you have become more skeptic because you've been around the block. It is possible to become more skeptic about the messages that you hear instead of saying, I want to hear what God is saying in this season. Now, this question and the answer to this question is the center of my teaching this morning. The title of my message this morning is How to Respond to the Word. How do you respond to the Word? So we read a profound parable given by the Lord Jesus. And in it, Jesus gave us ways in which people respond to the seed, which is the Word of God. You see, the way you respond to food that is laid before you is probably sometimes determined by whether you are full already or you are hungry. And one of the things I've realized that after fasting, almost every food tastes good
Because you are hungry. When you are hungry for the word, it doesn't matter how simple the word is, you are hungry for it. You open up your heart and you say, I want to hear what the Father has prepared for me today. And as you are hearing me this morning, what's your response to the word? Are you responding as one that is full already? Or you are responding as that one that is hungry? The Bible says, come to me all you that are hungry and eat. Those who are thirsty, come and drink the water that gives life. He says here, there are ways in which we respond to the word. Now, what I like about this parable, we don't need to do a lot of interpretation because the great teacher himself interpreted for us. All we need to do is to intently and carefully look at what the Lord Jesus taught us. And according to his interpretation, there are four ways in which people can respond to the word of God. And in this parable, the word is symbolized by the seed. A small seed. You will know and you'll agree with me that your harvest is always greater than the seed. The seed is one seed you drop in the ground, but what comes out of it is way more than the seed. And this morning, if we can grasp this principle of the seed, we will be able to have a great harvest in our lives. Now, so the word is symbolized by the seed, and the heart is symbolized by the type of soil. As I go through this, I want you to ask yourself, what type of soil are you? Or what type of soil have you become? You know, I grew up in a rural area on a plot, and we used to farm, and my mom is still farming there. There were portions of the fields that used to be fertile. But with use, they lose their fertileness. And you start realizing that the crop coming out of that field has reduced over the years. And my parents would have to put in manure. They had to replenish the nutrients in the soil. And my question to us this morning, what soil are you becoming? Maybe you were that good soil, but life has happened and stuff has started happening. And somehow things have turned around. Instead of listening to understand what the Father is saying, we listen to interrogate how it's being exegeted. We interrogate how he's interpreting scripture. We are more inclined to pick the faults with the teaching instead of getting what the Father is saying. That happens when we become professional in our walk with God. Now, one of the four responses, so there are four ways in which you respond. Of the four responses, only one gives you the result that you need. Put this down. The way you respond to the word of God determines its level of fruitfulness in your life. So I can respond to the word with simplicity and say, Father, speak to me. Okay? Speak the word to me. I want to grow. I want to change. I want to be transformed. Talking about the Israelites, you know, around this matter of how you respond to the word, the Israelites were exposed to the promises of their fathers. The Israelites were exposed to the promise that was given to Father Abraham. The promise that was given to Isaac and Jacob, but that word did not benefit them because the word was not received appropriately. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. The Bible says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, the Israelites. But the word that was preached did not profit them. Why? It was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. If you want to know the background of this, you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. That is where Moses was narrating. You see, if you look at the Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, it was basically Moses giving his last speech, talking to the people of God before they entered the promised land. So in chapter 1, you find that Moses was reminding them that you remember when we were at just at the edge of the promised land. And the Father God said to you, go into the land and possess the land. The land is full of milk and honey. The land is great. The land is waiting for you. I am with you. I will fight for you. I will give you peace in that land. You will have everything that you need in that land. You remember in Numbers, the 12 spies were sent. They came back and they gave a report. And then, instead of them believing the promises of God, they said, no. You want us to go into the land that eats its own inhabitants? You want us to go into a land where there are these big giants? No, we are not. We're going back to Egypt. They said, no, we are not going into the promised land. We're going back to Egypt. And Moses was reminding them that the Lord was angry with you. And he made a vow and said, everybody that is old enough will not enter the place of promise. The little ones that you said, our little ones are going to be killed by these giants, are the ones who enter the promised land. And they turned around. It took them another 40 years. The Bible says the word that was preached to them was not mixed with faith, and as a result, it did not benefit them. You see, when you look at that whole issue of mixing, it is an understanding of what happens in the tummy. When you eat food, there are enzymes that are released to enable you to digest the food. As long as the environment in the tummy is not right, instead of the food benefiting you, the food becomes poison to you. The same thing is with the word of God. So when I receive the word, the response that is expected of me is to agree with the word. The response that is expected of me, it is to put myself under the word and say, I believe what God is saying. When that happens, it is being mixed with the proper ingredients to give you the results. Now, let's explore the characteristics of these types of soils. We're only going to cover two, so we're going to be okay with time. Matthew 13, verse 18. So the Lord Jesus goes into now explaining what these soil types are like. In verse 18, he says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. He's now interpreting the parable of the sower. He says, when anyone hears the word of the Lord, of the kingdom, I like that. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, it then means it's either you are hearing the word of salvation for the first time. When Brother Tabo is out there in the streets preaching the gospel and somebody hears the word for the first time, they respond in a certain way. Or you are like one of us here sitting in this place hearing the word. You are born again. You haven't gone, but you hear the word. Now it says here, hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. Then the wicked one comes and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is the seed sown by the wayside. This is the seed sown by the wayside. You need to realize that both the one who hears the word for the first time responds in a certain way. And then you who are sitting right now and watching from home, you are hearing the word not for the first time, but you respond to it. Now, let's look at this one. The soil type number one is, I call it the highway soil. The highway soil, and Jesus defines it as one that hears the word but does not understand the word. You need to realize that the heart of man has the ability to work on the seed of the word in order to make it fruitful. Now, one heart differs from another, and that goes with the results. Depending on the type of soil that I carry, it will determine the outworking of the word in my heart. You need to understand something this morning, that if your heart is not in the right place, it doesn't matter how strong a revelation is being given, that revelation will not change anything in your life. You see, there are a lot of fruitless hearers nowadays, even in our church, fruitless hearers, just as it was in the days of Jesus Christ. I mean, they had the Messiah himself preaching, and yet they could not believe the Messiah. How much more us who are representing the Messiah? They heard the Messiah preaching, but they were hard of hearing. They were hard of understanding. If people who could hear the Messiah physically were hard of hearing, are we not at the danger of being hard of hearing when it's being preached by somebody representing the Messiah? It is very possible. You see, if you grew up in the rural areas, see, there's something powerful about growing in a rural area. There's something unique. Because the teachings in the word were very much rural settings. They were not city settings. It was an agrarian background. If you speak of a shepherd, a good shepherd, if you were out in the fields looking after sheep, you'd understand when he says, I'm the good shepherd. Come on now. But if you grew up in the Lokshen, where you've never seen a shepherd looking after a staff, you know, you have to dig deep to conceptualize the concept of a good shepherd. Now, in the rural areas, you'd find that there are times where you'd have naughty people walking through a field of maize crop. Okay? So these guys will start creating a path through a field. And before you know it, the whole village is walking right through your crops. Okay? Because you've got these places that are not fenced. So in Totes Bonela, we just do our own thing. So what then happens after people have walked through that path for a long time, with the feet battering the ground, it becomes so hard. So hard that even when seed falls onto that space, it's impenetrable. Seed cannot go in. Amen. Now, this is what happens to an individual who does not understand. Now, with that type of soil, when seed falls on it, the soil has no ability to take up the seed. That seed remains exposed to be snatched by the birds of the air. And this is a real issue. We're not talking about the Indian miners, you know these birds. You know, you got flocks of birds out there, real stuff, and whenever there's a seed that drops and it remains there for just a few hours, this thing is gone. And this is what happens to that person that hears the word but does not understand it. So the highway hearers are those who hear the word but do not comprehend it. They say these things are so hard to understand. And in the days of Jesus, they were highway hearers. When they heard Jesus saying, drink my blood, eat my flesh. And they said, this is hard teaching. Who can attain to it? And they left Jesus. It happens in our days today as well. When we hear certain word, you're like, that is just too hard to take, to live like that in this world. Pastor, I've got a girlfriend. You are saying I cannot do certain things. How so? It's hard to take. Now, the person who does not understand, that is not the problem. The problem is, after not understanding, what do you do? Many people, after not understanding, they do nothing about what they have not understood. But the disciples of Jesus would go back to the teacher and say, please explain to us, what did you mean? After Jesus would teach in parables, they would go back and say, teacher, help us to understand this teaching. And that is the distinction between the highway hearer and any other hearer. After not understanding, a different hearer would go and seek for understanding. You see, the highway hearer is so casual about the word that he hears. And whenever he hears the word, it is like foolishness unto him or her. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. Paul says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. To us who are being saved, the teachings of Jesus are life. To us who are on a journey with the Lord, the teachings of Jesus is what nourishes us. But to that person who is casual about what he hears, it is foolishness unto them. And that is why they will not pursue understanding. The reason why we labor to teach on how to do Bible studies, it is to ensure that when one lacks understanding, they know where to go to get understanding. And therefore, we have no reason to remain a highway hearer. It would be a matter of laziness for anyone in God Church to remain a highway hearer, because the tools are provided for us to be able to go deeper into the word. You see, the highway hearer does not pay attention to the word. They do not take hold of the taught word. That is why the Bible says, the highway hearer, the seed that falls on the highway, immediately the birds of the air come and snatch it away. A highway hearer is like any other person sitting in the congregation right now. But for him, it is a mere formality. It is a box-ticking exercise, probably for public appearance. We are in church. You know, the whole issue of familiarity can make one a highway hearer. I grew up in a church where we were told, you cannot come to church without a notebook, where you write notes. And then you don't just write and leave them there, you go home and review the notes. Because you can also become very religious, where you can write as much as you want, but never review what you have written. One can become a highway hearer. So as soon as the word drops on the heart of a highway hearer, the devil comes immediately and takes away the word. I mean, haven't you been there where after hearing the word, you walk through that door going home, immediately you go blank? Like, I don't even remember what scripture did the pastor read. So the highway hearer forgets immediately after listening to the word. And I want you to know there is a warfare going on here. That the devil is not interested in you retaining the word. And therefore we need to come to a place where we wage war around those things. They're demonically inspired. I've come to see that some people in church do not sleep when worship goes on. But the moment the preaching starts going, something just comes on them and they start dozing. It's demonic. And I want to say to you, if you feel like that sometimes, you need to do some warfare. There's an enemy on the loose who wants to rob you of the seed that is being released. The same thing applies when you read the word by yourself. Sometimes you are so alert until you open the Bible. And all of a sudden you become so sleepy and you convince yourself that let me just sleep. Then when I wake up, I'll be fresh enough. You wake up, you still sleep reading the word. What's going on here? There's a spiritual warfare going on and you need to engage. Highway hearers. You see, I was thinking about this as I was preparing. And I said, a highway hearer is like the teenager who is in church and sulking because mama forced him to be in church. You know, the teenagers who sit there sulking, folding their hands, and they're not there. That's a highway hearer. And unfortunately, we have a lot of teenagers who are 60 years of old of age. A lot of teenagers who are 45 years of age. What's going on here? There's a devil on the loose who infuses this demonic spirit of teenagehood into our lives. Now, there is a carelessness that accompanies the highway hearer. You know, when you handle the word carelessly, you are a highway hearer. You know, these days with social media, it's very easy to be on social media when the preaching is going on. I've seen it even in our church. And you look at the person like, really, is this what we have lowered the house of God to be? Where we are in the house of God, in the presence of the Most High God, but we've got the audacity to chat on Facebook, on WhatsApp. There's a coldness that has come into some of our hearts that the things of God have not become weighty anymore. Amen. Highway hearer. We need God to help us this morning. Amen. To go back to that first love where when it was about to hear from the king, it was all senses to the king. Amen. It was everything to the king. There's a story in the book of 2 Kings chapter 7 that speaks of a highway hearer. You remember the city of Samaria that was besieged by the king of Syria. The city was besieged. Nobody could go in. Nobody could go out. Supplies could not go in. And there was hunger in the city until they started eating droplets of birds. And mothers started killing their own babies and eating their children. And there was commotion in the city until the king went to Elisha and said, we've got to do something. And now Elisha gave a prophetic word. And now this is where we are reading from 2 Kings 7 verse 1. And Elisha said, hear the word of Jehovah. This is the thing. When you sit under the word of Jehovah, I've got to pay attention. I've got to differentiate her word and the word of Jehovah. I can afford not to pay attention to her word, but not to the word of Jehovah, because it has implications. Hear the word of Jehovah. So says Jehovah, tomorrow, about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold at a shekel. In other words, there will be abundance. And two measures of barley at a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Verse 2. Give it to me, please. And the third officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if Jehovah would make windows in heaven, then this thing might be. That's an attitude, that's a response that this man who was so close to the king had. And Elisha looked at him and he said, behold, you shall see with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. That's a problem. You shall behold the blessings of others, but you will not be part of the blessing. Because of the way you responded to Jehovah's word. You read on in the story, you'd find that when this thing happened, these lepers went to the Syrian camp and the food was there. Food was brought into the city. And then there was a stampede. This guy was in front and he was run over. He died. He saw it. He did not partake of it. What was the story? Highway hearer. Yeah. The word was released. We would rather caution on the side of obeying what you believe God is telling you to do. And this man only saw with his eyes, but not become a partaker. In a church like this, God would release a word. And the question would be, do we receive it? Or we are doubtful and say, even if God would open the windows of heaven, this church will not fill up. But we know that the God of heaven has got the hearts of man in his hands. And he's able to guide the heart of a man in the same way that he guides the waters of the rivers. So I believe that it is possible we will see it in our days. Because revival will happen in our day. Glory be to God. Soil type number two. Soil type number two. So we are done with the highway hearer. You've got to investigate. Do an introspection. Are there traits of a highway hearer that has crept into your heart? That has found their way into your Christianity? Some of them are so subtle that you don't feel that it's a major deal until the Holy Spirit shines his light on you and says, this will stop you from moving to your next level. Number two, soil type two, the stony ground. The stony ground. Matthew 13. Verse 20. Matthew 13, verse 20. But that which was sown on the stony places is this. He who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root in himself and is temporary. For when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, he immediately stumbles. You see, the stony soil is better than the highway soil. At least there is a level of soil here. There is a level of penetration that the seed can achieve when the seed has been planted. You see, the stony hearer goes a step beyond the pathway hearer. So the stony hearer can say to himself, I'm better than the pathway hearer. So the stony hearer is better than the highway hearer, but is not good enough. This one goes beyond his neighbor, but falls short of heaven's expectation. You go beyond your neighbor, but you fall short of what heaven expects of you. You see, the stony hearer has a great initial impression. This is the guy who runs from the back of the church with money in their hands when the pastor has just dropped a big revelation. This is the guy who runs and drops money. You have seen it. Where by the time the pastor is done, money is flowing over here. Like, I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, it'll be nice. The guys run from the back there and they drop and they're like, ooh, they're shaking their heads. Like, Papa, go, Papa, go, Papa. You know, this is the stony hearer. Excited. The initial impression is like, wow, this guy is hitting home. This guy is getting it. So this guy received the word with much excitement. The only issue is that it is for that moment. The excitement is but for a moment. We spin around our heads with this word being taught, especially if it's a strong, motivational teaching. I mean, I've been in churches where a guy cannot sit on the chair. The guy even shakes you. He feels you're not getting it. The guy is like, Lord have mercy. This guy whistles. This guy says, go, 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 go. This guy finishes the sentences for the pastor. But it's only for a moment. Guys, I'm not against receiving the word with excitement. We need to be excited. We need to say hallelujah, praise Jehovah. We need to say Eina. It is good. It is the starting point. It's the entry. Let's receive the word with excitement. Hallelujah. And then from then on, we go deeper with the word. So, what is it about the stony ground? Again, my agrarian background helps me. I remember walking through my mother's field. You'd walk through patches of the field where the crop looks yellowish. Okay? It's not looking healthy. It's yellowish. It does not have that deep green color of a healthy crop. You walk to another portion of the field that the leaves themselves are wide and very green. It feels good walking through that portion of the field. So the field is on the same height and then it dips. And you go to where it's dipping, you find that there's a pond of water there. And the blades of the crops are very thin and narrow and yellowish. What's going on here? You'd find that the reason why the water is ponding, at the bottom there is a lot of stone. So this water is not going all the way down and it's creating a pond. And that is a guy. Now you'd find that the absence of deep roots means that the plant cannot reach the nutrients that are found in the soil around it. This is the key issue. The stony hearers are not averse to the word. They will not run away from the word, the stony hearers. No, they don't fight it when it's being released. They listen to the word. They are involved in Bible studies, but that is where it ends. They are quick to receive the word. And in that regard, the Bible says the word springs up quickly. The word springs up very quickly. And you know what? When you hear them straight after church, you'd think I'm talking to a mature believer here because they can narrate the pastor's message verbatim. They've heard it. They're excited about it. Now, the stony hearers, their problem is that they don't take time to meditate upon the word. They don't take time to pray over the word. They don't take time to test the word in their lives. That's a stony hearer. Put this down. Many are excited by a great sermon, but do not allow it to influence their lifestyle. The excitement is there. The ululation is there. We have given the seed offering when the man of God is preaching. But we do not allow the word to influence what comes out of my mouth. I don't allow the word to influence the thought patterns that Shadi was talking about here before worship. The person does not allow the word to influence his emotions towards the opposite sex. That's a stony hearer. Many are excited, but they do not allow it to influence their lifestyle. People of God, you would agree with me. In our Pentecostal churches, charismaniacs and all of that, if the excitement you see on a Sunday morning would continue to tomorrow, our lives would be different. I'm telling you, we're talking with my wife because the president of Zambia, the new one now, is a believer. And we're saying, but what is the problem with Africa? You have a Malawian president who is a believer. Now you have a Zambian president who is a believer. You can count them, but why is it that corruption continues? Surely you would think that because Malisa, the Malawian president, would change things. You'd think that some things would change. Our problem is that we are excited a lot. And that's and we like to preach messages that excite people. That make people spin. But after that, nothing changes. Stony hearers. So the initial excitement at hearing the word slowly turns into offense after the word starts challenging the ungodly behavior. So you heard the word, you ululated, you clapped your hands, you whistled, and then you go home and the word starts challenging you. You need to return that pen you took from your boss's office. You're like, huh? Everybody does it. Why can't I? Ish, Lord have mercy. Stony hearers. So the word was exciting. You're like, yeah. And then you're all by yourself at home. You do an introspection. The word starts challenging you that the way you've been treating your children is not godly. You're like, no, but they've been naughty. You start rationalizing the word you heard. So the word slowly turns into offense after the word starts challenging our ungodly ways of life. No wonder why the word is not bearing fruit. So the absence of roots means that the stony hearer can endure hardships only for a little while. Because I don't have principles that enable me to withstand dark times, when dark times come, I start having contestation with the word I heard. I start arguing with the word that I heard. Because I lack root. So you withstand hardships for a little while, but further hardships will cause us to forsake the faith. That's lack of root. And I want you to know that this season of COVID has exposed a lot of stony hearers. Where everything was hunky-dory, everything was great, because the roots had not been shaken by a strong wind. Winds are blowing. Finances are drying up. The landscape has changed. Because you look to the right, the person who used to be there for you is no longer there. They've gone to be with the Lord. Now there is a wind that is blowing, and every Pentecostal person is being shaken, and they're questioning God. And as pastors, we are to blame to a certain degree because we did not prepare the people of God for the days of windy times. We told them, whenever a wind comes, bind it and break it and say, no, you're not allowed in my life. But we should have told them, winds will come, but God remains faithful. Roots. You see, the stony hearer has no fixed principles and habits that enables the word to work in them. You know, Jesus teaches his disciples as he was about to be crucified in John 16:33, in this world you shall have trouble. He was saying winds are going to come, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I believe there's a shift and there's changing of seasons even in the body of Christ. Regarding the type of teachings that we give. I mean, today, I don't know how many pastors are still preaching. Receive it. It's your season. It's going to rain. The harvest is coming. That's what we've been teaching all along. Why can't you say it now? That 2022 is going to be the most brilliant year of your life. But one thing that I know, all things work together for my good. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. So there's got to be, you know, our churches, some of them are empty because you don't preach. Receive it. It's yours. Frame it. Own it. No, Now, what are we saying to the people of God? We must teach them that God is still God. The God of the mountain is the God of the valley. He said, in the night there was a pillar of fire, and during the day there was a cloud. God will never leave us.
Wow, okay. Ish, let's finish up here.
So, Matthew 13:21. Talking about the one who hears the word but does not pay attention to it, has got no root. Jesus says, but he has no root in himself and is temporary. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, he immediately stumbles. Persecution will come. To a lot of believers, persecution is a foreign concept. But Jesus, talking to Peter, he said, when Peter was saying, Master, we have forsaken everything. We left everything for you. What is there for us? And Jesus said to him, don't worry, Peter. You shall receive 100-fold in this world and in the world to come. In this world, you receive 100-fold, even of persecution. You know? So Jesus is saying here, on account of the word, you will be tested. On account of the word, the enemy will come and test the sincerity that you have in the word you heard. So if you don't want persecution, sometimes don't hear the word. That's one way of trying to run away from persecution. Put this down. An increase in revelation will attract an increase in persecution that tests one's sincerity in the word. I wish I can say, take it, take it, take it. But the more you sit under the teaching anointing, there is an exam waiting for you. And you know what? With every exam, with every test, there is a testimony. So if you want to be a person of testimonies, you'll have to go through a testing moment. An increase in revelation will attract an increase in persecution. For what purpose? To test how genuine you've been in the word. Amen. Or you've been just that guy like, go, 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 go. And after that, like, no, 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 no. God must continue. All right. Well, let's leave it there. Let's leave it there for today. The key issue here is that we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. You know, it is easy for one to say, I'm not a pathway hearer. Well, I'm not a stony hearer. You might not, but there are traits. There are traits that are rising up in one's heart. That is why in the Song of Songs, the writer says, catch us the little foxes that are destroying the vineyard. The little foxes, the little habits, the little pets that were rearing up, the tiger that is growing up, one day it's going to grow and become so big. There's a desperation we need to have. There's a place we need to come to and say, Lord, I'm desperate for you. That is why Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you will not experience the kingdom. I want you to talk to the Lord as this song plays. Thank you, Jesus.